Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we find ourselves in the letter of Paul to the Colossians in chapter 3. Paul has been arguing, some might say at a philosophical, maybe theological level, very much regarding the person of Christ, that Christ is truly man and truly God, and he's been making it very clear that the uniqueness of Christ is something that we have to safeguard. But now, having laid that foundation in chapter 3, you might describe what he's teaching as being very practical. He says, look, if you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. I believe he's saying that because it's important that our lives speak out the truth of what we believe, that you can't just have great theology, you've got to have a lifestyle which supports the theology that you believe. And so there's a strong urging that you need to put to death what's immoral, what's impure, what's lustful, what's evil desires, greed, idolatry. He says that those things belonged to your old life, but your new life in Christ, this must not predominate. And he talks about you need to get rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying. This is very down to earth. If you found the early chapters difficult to grasp, well, you certainly understand what he's saying here. Don't lie to each other. You've got to put on the new self. And the new self that you have in Christ is all about being a person that honours God. Whatever the colour of your skin, whatever your race, all of those things become second to being a Christian, living as Christ has called you to live. And he used a phrase which I think is quite interesting. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That's quite a fascinating phrase, that it's a conscious thing. When you get up in the morning and you clothe yourself to go into the day, you're making choices about what you're going to put on and things like that. And I think that's really much the picture that Paul is painting here. I want you to consciously adopt attitudes and behavior patterns that please God. They're not by nature in you. This is the new nature that needs to be cultivated. And he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. And he's urging that out of this practical, loving, caring lifestyle, there's a desire to build one another up. And so he talks about listening to one another through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. But verse 17 is great. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He's not finished on the practical side, because now he wants to talk about marriage and the role of wife and the role of husband. He's talking about caring for children, how children respond to their parents, but how fathers should respond to the children. He's talking about working life, which of course in those days would have included some as being slaves. But he's saying, as a Christian, you've got to make sure it's different. Don't go along with the world. You've got to respect and honour people, whatever their status. Well, our time is gone. We need to pause for worship, and my good friend Patrick will join me to look a little further at Colossians chapter 3. Thank you.
Listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at Colossians chapter 3. In chapter 2, Richard, we were looking at regulations and how in Christ that those rules and regulations don't apply in the same way. It seems that in chapter 3, there's a whole new list of rules and regulations and things that you have to do.
Yes, I think that's an important point to draw out, because I believe that what he's sharing is a lifestyle, and a lifestyle shouldn't come out of regulation and I must. A lifestyle should come out of I want to be different. I want to demonstrate my identity with Christ and to behave like him. And I think that's perhaps the key difference.
Yeah. I find verse 3 a fascinating verse. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Again, this is an echo of something that we saw also in chapter 2, this idea that the individual Christian has died with Christ, and our life is somehow hidden.
I think that Paul has a strong emphasis on what it means to be a Christian, that we're a new creation, and the new creation is different to how we were made when we were made in the image of God, but we were made with a sinful nature. A sinful nature came in pretty quick, and now we've all got it. And so this new life, hidden with Christ, what we have now is all wrapped around our relationship with Jesus. And hidden is not meant to be in any way be sinister, but it just means we're covered by Christ, that he is our righteousness, he is our goodness, he is our Lord, he's the one we're serving. Everything's covered by him. Mm. That's the way I look at it.
And these qualities, these characteristics that he speaks of, you know, in verses, 12 to 14, I suppose, clothe yourselves, like you said, with compassion, kindness, humility. These things have always been difficult for people, haven't they? Because as you look over church history, it's not always been a great example of compassion, humility, gentleness and so on, has it?
No, it hasn't. But again, I think it's because there is the need to make a conscious decision. You know, when somebody upsets me, when somebody makes life very difficult, I can choose in Christ whether I'm going to respond with venom, sword for sword, tooth for tooth, and so on, or I can decide I'm going to respond with forgiveness. And the emphasis is to choose how to live out what we believe.
And I suppose we always have that choice, because God doesn't make us be compassionate and humble and gentle, does he?
No, he certainly gives us plenty of opportunities to do that.
Mm.
But we're not always so keen to take those opportunities.
Yeah. This passage does get a little controversial in verse 18. This is often given as an example of Paul being sort of anti-women. Wives, submit to your husbands. How are we to take that these days?
Well, I think that it really revolves around, what does it mean to submit? Because a lot of people might easily consider almost like the wrestling ring, where a wrestler puts another wrestler in a hold and is urging them to submit.
Yes.
Otherwise, he's going to inflict lots more pain upon them.
Yes.
So I don't think that's what the Bible is saying.
No, okay.
I don't think that wives submitting is meant to be a painful ordeal. Because husbands are called to love their wives. I think it's to do with harmonious relationship, with respect. And yes, I believe that the head of a marriage is the man. And yet I also believe that exercising headship has to be with much humility and grace. There are times when a decision needs to be made, and most times a husband and wife can find the way through together. But if you can't, someone has to make the decision. And it's in those circumstances that I believe the husband needs to stand up.
Yeah.
But with reluctance, because the better way is to mutually agree.
Yeah. It is an interesting chapter, because there's a lot of quite deep teaching in the whole letter, really, but in particular in the chapter that we've just read. So, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the letter to the Colossians in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.